Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 19. In this chapter, we have a review of the Mosaic Law's provision of the cities of refuge and the importance of having two or three witnesses for justice to be carried out properly. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses of this chapter. When the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. Now if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, and strikes him mortally, so that he dies and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with you. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 19, with some background notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we saw a review of four areas of requirement for Israel under the law. Israel was to establish the Levites. Israel was to eliminate occult practices. Israel was to expect the Messiah, and Israel was to execute false prophets. Now here in chapter 19, the laws that are reviewed all have to do in some way with the legal protection of the people. In verse 1, notice again how it is emphasized that the Lord was giving Israel the land of Canaan and its cities. Verse 1, when the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, if God himself gave the land of Canaan to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish people do have a biblical claim to that land. God never took away his promise of this land to the Jewish people. At the present time, the Jewish people are temporarily not in the place of blessing in the land because they rejected their Messiah. But according to Romans chapter 11, they will be brought into the place of blessing once again, when as a nation, they turn back to the Messiah whom they once rejected. And the gift of the land to the Jewish people by God himself was never taken away or given to someone else. The end of verse 1 says that the children of Israel would dispossess the inhabitants and dwell in their cities and in their houses. So Israel did not destroy the cities and farms, but took them over. Now, this is important in reference to the archaeological dating of the conquest. Archaeologists should not expect to find a lot of destruction in the tells or mounds of ruins at the time of the conquest. Only Jericho, Ai, and Hazor were burned at the time of the conquest, according to the biblical record in the book of Joshua. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 19. Doctrinal point number 1. The cities of refuge were given for manslaughter, not for murder. The cities of refuge were given for manslaughter, not for murder. The premeditated taking of life is murder. But accidental death, where there is no intent to kill, is manslaughter. Under the law, God provided cities of refuge for anyone involved in manslaughter. In these verses that we just read, a typical case of manslaughter is given in verses 4 through 6. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. The avenger of blood, in verse 6, was the next of kin who had the responsibility to avenge the blood of his dead relative as a matter of justice. As long as the manslayer escaped to the city of refuge, he was safe until his case was decided. Now we know from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that the safety of the city of refuge pictures the refuge that a believer has in Christ. Hebrews 6, 18. There were to be six designated cities of refuge when the children of Israel possessed the land, three on the east side of the Jordan River and three on the west side of the Jordan River. We see in verses 2 and 3 here in Deuteronomy chapter 19 that the cities of refuge were to be strategically placed with good roads so that the manslayer could easily flee to the nearest city of refuge. The reason only three cities of refuge are mentioned here in Deuteronomy chapter 19 is because these are the three that would be on the west side of the Jordan River. The three cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan River were already designated, as we saw back in Deuteronomy chapter 4. We know from Joshua chapter 20 and verse 7 that the three cities on the west side of the Jordan River were Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. Joshua chapter 20, verse 7. The three more cities of refuge that we read of here in verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 19 were to be designated if Israel conquered and occupied all the land that the Lord had given them under the Abrahamic covenant. Israel never occupied all this land, and thus these additional three cities of refuge never were designated. The important point here, as we see in verses 11 through 13, is that the cities of refuge were not for murderers. If it was determined that the case was not an accidental death, but premeditated, then the murderer was not given the protection of the city of refuge, but was instead put to death for wrongly taking life. The cities of refuge were given for manslaughter, not for murder. Doctrinal point number two. The law of retribution was given as a limit, not as a license. The law of retribution was given as a limit, not as a license. Verses 15 through 21. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. In Israel, a person was assumed innocent until proven guilty, and it took two or three witnesses to bring conviction. Now, suppose there was a false witness. That could happen in that day as it can happen today. If a witness was proven to be false, we see in verse 19, then whatever penalty was intended for the innocent person was done to the false witness. This law certainly kept false testimony to a minimum in Israel. And we see in verse 21 that there was to be no pity shown in carrying out justice. It was to be eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. This law is also given in Exodus chapter 21 and Leviticus chapter 24. This is known as the law of retribution, or lex talionis from the Latin, for law of retaliation. Unfortunately, that's the way many of the Jewish people down through the years used this law of retribution as a basis wrongly to retaliate in interpersonal relationships, as a license to get someone back for what they did to you. You slandered me, I can slander you. You ruined my property, I can ruin your property. That was not why the law of retribution was given. It was given as a limit for social justice. If you, in an emotional moment of a heated argument with your boss, punched him in the face, for example, and he lost a tooth or an eye, the courts could not give you the death penalty, no matter how much power and clout the boss had. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and yes, in the case of murder, life for life. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39, the Lord Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Now the Lord here is not eliminating or changing the law of retribution. No, he is correcting the wrong use of this law. As we mentioned, the Jewish people were using the law of retribution wrongly, in a vindictive way, to justify revenge. This was wrong. And the Lord showed that in interpersonal relationships, you should not seek revenge, but rather turn the other cheek. The law of retribution is still good as a limit in the area of social justice. The punishment should fit the crime. The law of retribution was given as a limit, not as a license. Now, what about practical application for Deuteronomy chapter 19? Watch out for stealing little by little. Watch out for stealing little by little. Let's read verse 14, which we didn't read before. "You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set, in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." In the ancient world, property boundaries were generally marked out with stones. These stones could be easily moved in most cases. And if they were moved little by little over time, you could gain some of your neighbor's property without him being aware of it. This was stealing. This law certainly has a lot of application for today, because you can steal other things besides property little by little. Because of jealousy, you can steal a person's good reputation little by little by your comments. You can wrongly steal a person's affections little by little. You can little by little steal money and other stuff by not repaying and not returning what you have borrowed. Watch out for stealing little by little.